All right, y'all, I got a bunch of major, major breaking news here for you. So right off the bat, we had a vote in the House of Representatives on the War Powers Resolution, okay? The final result, it failed 212 to 219, okay? So in other words, they were not able to block Trump's illegal and offensive war with Iran. Now, it was mostly down party lines, but there were two defections where the Republicans voted with the Democrats. It was Thomas Massie and one other, a Republican from Ohio. And then on the Democratic side, there are four Diet MAGA Democrats who support Trump's illegal and offensive imperialist war on Iran, which literally led to an elementary school full of girls being bombed. You need to call these Democrats and tell them how you feel about what they just did, what they just signed on to. Blood is on their hands now, okay? Those Democrats are Henry Cuellar, Jared Golden, Greg Landsman, and Juan Vargas. So definitely call them, email them, reach out to them. Tell them how you feel, that they betrayed you. They betrayed the anti-war movement. They betrayed America. And they signed on to a fascist, imperialist, bloodthirsty war of aggression and conquest. Okay? More. A U.S. tanker in the northern Persian Gulf has been hit by Iran's Revolutionary Guard, and it's burning. So U.S. tankers are now being hit in this war. That's a massive, massive deal. Another big deal. More oil infrastructure getting hit in Bahrain. So their refinery was hit, and there was a massive, massive fire. That's a huge deal. So not only has Iran successfully been able to attack U.S. military bases, they've also been able to attack a bunch of oil infrastructure in the region. And by the way, they haven't even decided yet to go after the real big stuff. They haven't even decided to go after oil rigs or oil fields yet. That's probably a last-ditch effort. That's probably like when they feel like, okay, we got no moves left. We're going to attack this. And they might attack desalination plants, which would be a catastrophe for the Middle East, where basically the majority of their drinkable water overnight would be gonzo. So this is red alert, man. This is getting more and more extreme, more and more intense. As you all know, they've shut down the Strait of Hormuz. There's going to be colossal price shocks at the gas pump, okay? The World Health Organization chief also said on Thursday that it has verified there's been 13 attacks done by Israel and the U.S. on Iranian health infrastructure. I repeat, 13 attacks on Iranian health infrastructure. So that's like hospitals, clinics, and things of that nature. The last time I talked to you about this stuff, it was 9 hospitals that had been attacked. Now we're at 13 different health buildings that were attacked. And by the way, none of these are an accident. Just so you understand, they might lie, they might pretend, but this is on purpose. This was the exact model, the genocidal model that Israel used in Gaza, and now it's being used in Iran. Okay, the Israeli military says that when they did the last attack against Iran, the 12-day war, as they call it, they dropped 4,000 bombs. This time, as of today, we're 5 days in to this war. They say they've already surpassed that 4,000 bomb number. So in 5 days, there's been over 4,000 bombs dropped on Tehran. That's a lot of bombs. And the last time, again, I gave you the breakdown of the casualties, it was about 1,000. I haven't seen an update to those numbers, but if I had to guess, I would say we're certainly over 1,500, probably over 2,000 by now. Okay? More. This is from DropSite News. They say that Israel is using what they call the tornado plan to destroy Tehran. Okay, so the defense minister Katz described the strategy for strikes in high visibility civilian areas. So in a March 1st post on X, Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz openly referenced a strategy involving strikes on high visibility targets in civilian areas of Tehran, shedding light on the logic behind Israel's recent attacks in the Iranian capital. Okay, so yet again, they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. The whole point is to go after civil society. By the way, they've also bombed the opposition areas that had people who were anti-government, who were protesters, and that was further evidence to me that this isn't even just about regime change. They want Iran to be a failed state. If Iran is a failed state, then they can't regionally push back on Israel at all, and Israel can continue to build a greater Israel and take more and more of the Middle East. Now, at the same time this is going on, Israel ordered all civilians south of the Litani River in Lebanon to evacuate immediately and move to the north. That's a huge, huge displacement directive. And when we talk about this, it's like tens of thousands of people that they're saying, you got to move. That's in the past 24 hours, at least 60,000 have fled. And I believe ultimately they need to get like over 100,000 to flee. But what they're doing here, and again, the Israelis admit this, is exactly what they did in Gaza, where it's like, hey, we're being nice by telling you to go somewhere else. But everybody's going, there's nowhere for us to go. What do you mean? There's nowhere for us to go. This is our home. Like, what are we supposed to do? And the goal is Israel's going to try to steal virtually all of South Lebanon. It's happening right now in front of our eyes yet again. They got away with the Gaza genocide, and so now they're emboldened, and they feel like we could just keep doing this. Okay? That's what we're witnessing right this second. At least 77 people have already been killed in Lebanon, and 527 wounded. And this is just over one day of Israeli attacks. And again, that death toll is going to rise. This is just a rabid, unhinged dog is what we're looking at when we talk about the Israelis at this moment. Mondo Weiss is reporting that under the cover of the war on Iran, Israel has also now fully cut off food to the Palestinians in Gaza again. Okay, so the starvation is back in full effect. We also have this. The Pentagon is preparing for the U.S. war with Iran to last until September, according to Politico. So when they came out first, oh, it'll be 4 or 5 days. And then, oh, you know, it'll be a couple weeks. It may be a little longer than that. Well, now here we are. They're already saying internally it's going to go to September, which means it's probably open-ended. Okay, we're probably already right back in the middle of another forever war. That's what it is. So the one thing that was promised 7 times by Trump on the campaign trail, now we're right back in hell, okay? He never meant a goddamn word of it. Never, ever, ever did he mean a goddamn word of it. He was always a warmonger, but this is a level above and beyond, even for him. All right, we also have this. President Trump tells Axios that he must be personally involved in picking the next supreme leader of Iran, and that the one that they already picked, Ayatollah Khamenei's son, also known as Ayatollah Khamenei, is not an acceptable option. Can you believe the hubris on this man? So you illegally and offensively bomb a country. By the way, they agreed to your harshest terms when it came to uranium enrichment. They agreed to it, and then you bomb them anyway. All right? You admit that, like, Israel led the way, and we just follow them like the little cuck boys that we are, like the little betas that we are. But then they pick their new supreme leader, and this guy has the nerve and the gall to say, no, I get to pick the supreme leader. You have got to be kidding me. In his mind, he thinks, oh, I'll do like what I do in Venezuela, where like you cut a deal with somebody, and that person lets you steal all the natural resources, and then everybody will be cool with that, right? No, actually, they won't be cool with that. And we've already seen Trump steal hundreds of millions of dollars worth of oil from Venezuela and put it in a private account in Qatar. And he wants to do the same thing effectively when it comes to Iran. And so here we are. But again, I can't, like, the nerve on this man. This is like Hitler on steroids. When you're like, I'm gonna conquer your country, I'm gonna take it over. And then when you try to do something autonomous and sovereign internally, I'm gonna go, I'm not allowing that. I get to pick. Like, Jesus Christ. All right, more. At the same time, this war is raging and spiraling out of control, and we're in the midst of an escalation trap. We have Trump posting about his stupid fucking ballroom that we call the Jeffrey Epstein Memorial Ballroom. By the way, we also call the war the Jeffrey Epstein War, and we also call the partnership of the U.S. and Israel the Axis of Epstein. But can you imagine posting about this fucking ballroom now in the midst of this gigantic war, which has totally spiraled out of control, where Americans are dying and innocent civilians in Iran are dying? I mean, it is just astonishing how out of touch this man is. And the terrifying part about it is he's acting like he never has to respond to the voters ever again. Because I think in his mind, he never has to respond to be accountable to the voters ever again. He's definitely going to make a play to try to steal the midterms. Okay, that's why he posts this shit. That's why he talks about the Arc de Trump that he wants to build. That's why he talked about remodeling the Lincoln bathroom, as you guys can't afford to pay for fucking groceries. You need Klarna to pay for groceries. This is insane what we're talking about here. Credit card debt is at like a record high, and this guy's bragging about his giant ballroom, which he's building illegally, by the way. All right, get a load of this. So this war against Iran so far has cost taxpayers $11,500 per second. per second. Per second. At first, I read it and my brain just defaulted to like, oh, they mean per minute. Wrong. They mean per second. $11,500 per second is what it's costing you and me. I never want to hear another motherfucking word about, oh, we can't afford childcare. We can't afford paid vacation time. We can't afford universal health care. Fuck you with a spiky metal bat. Jesus Christ, are you kidding me? It's just unbelievable. So, to this point, it's cost over $5 billion. In fact, I think as you're watching this, it's probably over $6 billion that the war has already cost, okay? The annual budget for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which was just wiped out by the Republicans, is $535 million. They've wasted $6 billion on an illegal and offensive war, murdering elementary school girls, but $535 million for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting for shit like Sesame Street, they go, nope, we can't afford that. We got to get rid of that. Because anything that's for you, to them, is not acceptable. Because they're the Epstein class. They're the shadow government of moneyed interests and pedophile, sadistic billionaires that actually runs the world. And they want you to be a slave peasant to them. And they want to run the world. Okay? So as of right now, here's the increase in gas prices since this war began. You ready? Louisiana's went up 39 cents. Georgia up 37 cents. Iowa up 35 cents. Indiana up 35 cents. West Virginia up 35 cents. Oklahoma up 34 cents. North Dakota up 34 cents. Ohio up 34 cents. South Dakota up 32 cents. Illinois up 31 cents. Guys, and that's the average. This is just the beginning. We are just getting started. We haven't even really had the supply shock yet. And the Strait of Hormuz is shut down, ski. Okay? Jet fuel has doubled in price. It's doubled in price. So now people are saying this burst of inflation that we're about to get is going to be worse than the peak of COVID. The peak of COVID. Think about that. My God, man. My God. All right. So here's something from Middle East Eye that I found very interesting. They said the following. Rubio and Hegseth internally are fighting. They're described as, quote, at each other's throats over the question of whether the U.S. should deploy troops to Iran at Israel's request. So when talking about boots on the ground, Hegseth is supportive of boots on the ground, and Rubio is deeply wary of it. And he's saying he doesn't think it's a good idea. So Israel wants it. They're telling the U.S. to do it. Hegseth is going, hell yeah, bro, epic base, let's do it. And Rubio, who's known as his like track record is being one of the biggest warmongers in the world, he's going, you know what, little much. Little much. We might want to pump the brakes a little bit here. This is getting a little bit out of hand. Oh, my goodness, y'all. Oh, my days. What is going on? That's so crazy. That's so crazy. So as all this is going on, Trump is hosting an event at the White House with the Inter Miami soccer team. Okay, so that means Lionel Messi is there. And Trump, in this event, starts casually talking about Iran and saying, like, we're going to do more illegal bombing of Iran. And then Lionel Messi and his teammates in the back start applauding. What? Excuse you? That yes, this is what's actually happening. This actually happened. It's like something from a bad dream. So Trump also went on to say, they're calling to say, how do we make a deal? And I said, you're being a little bit late. We want to fight now more than they do. He said that talking about Iran. That's how you know the exact opposite is true. There was reporting that Trump asked for a ceasefire because we're running out of interceptors. So he needs time for us to get more interceptors to then go back and keep bombing them. And Iran knows this is just to refresh and reload. And so they're like, we don't want a ceasefire now, right? And so the fact that he's out there going, actually, I don't even want a ceasefire, and they want a ceasefire, and we want to fight more than they do. Again, he lies like a toddler. He lies like a toddler. It's so easy to see through his BS, okay? So Trump also was casually talking in this event, and he was saying to Rubio, your next one is going to be Cuba. He's waiting, but he says, let's get this one finished first. We can do them all at the same time, but bad things happen. Everybody's laughing and giggling and having a good time. He's literally talking about creating the Fourth Reich. He's talking about overthrowing independent sovereign governments so that the Epstein class can steal their natural resources, okay? That's what he's talking about. He's making jokes about it. And the world we live in is so depraved that people smile and giggle around him. I mean, we are so lost, bro. Moral collapse. We're in the midst of a moral collapse. There's no way around that. All right, so the New York Times has this big piece. And in it, they lay out that there was this big analysis of the attack on the girls' school, the elementary school, where over 150 little girls aged 7 to 12 were murdered, okay? The original thinking was that Israel was the one who did the attack, okay? It was after that, there was this massive propaganda effort underway to lie and try to blame it on an Iranian misfired missile. Does this sound familiar? This is exactly what Israel did when the first hospital, the Al-Ali Hospital in Gaza, was attacked. They did a full court press. They called anybody who accurately said Israel did that bombing anti-Semitic, okay? And they forced the media to do some both sides shit and to pump the brakes before telling the truth, okay? But without, they don't want you to use Occam's razor, okay? Hey, Israel dropped all the other bombs. They probably dropped this bomb too. So that's what happened, is they scared people into not telling the truth. So then every hospital in Gaza wound up being bombed. But since the Israelis made a big stink about the first one and lied and said they didn't do it, the media didn't tell the truth about all the other bombings too, that Israel did those bombings. Okay? They tried the same thing here. Oh, Iran, it was an Iranian misfired rocket. Well, that was total horseshit. Complete bullshit. So there was a forensic analysis that was just done. And the end result is, they say U.S. forces bombed the school. It was U.S. forces who did it. Okay? And so, it wasn't the Israelis in this case, but it was the U.S. We're, of course, their allies and tomato, tomato at this point, because we're both in the axis of Epstein. But don't let them convince you of the bullshit. Do not let them do that. Because they will, whenever there's something that's so egregious and there's no argument for it and it's so immoral and so unethical, they will try to save face and they will lie and try to blame the other side. And that's what they try to do here. Never fall for it. Israel bombed every single hospital in Gaza, every single one. And then now we have a situation where the U.S. and Israel have already bombed double digits hospitals in Iran. And this first bombing was the United States, according to the forensic analysis. Okay. So you have Iran's foreign minister went on NBC and a reporter asked him, are you afraid of a U.S. invasion in your country? And he responded, no, we are waiting for them. And the reporter said, you are waiting for the U.S. military to invade the ground troops? And the foreign minister says, yes. Look, many people have pointed this out before, but the terrain in Iran, it's a country that's four times as large as Iraq. There's over 90 million people that live there. The terrain is not very hospitable. This is a fool's errand. I mean, it's stupid, it's immoral, it's unethical, but it's also just a fool's errand from a practical perspective in the sense that the shit is not going to fucking work. It's not going to work. All right. We also have this. Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, and Qatar are apparently absolutely furious right now because the U.S. government diverted resources, only protected Israel, left them out to dry. They all got bombed. They all got hosed. They're all reeling. You know, tourism is going to struggle there on top of the oil industry. So they just got hit with a double whammy, right? So they're furious. Well, now they're talking about pulling back from the U.S. and pulling back all their other investments because of the toll from this war and realizing perhaps they bet on the wrong horse. Perhaps it was a horrible idea to get in bed with a snake that was always going to fucking turn on you. So that's a big article in the Financial Times that has devastating consequences, y'all. Devastating consequences. Okay, this is also crazy. President Trump says that the Israeli president, Isaac Herzog, he came out and said he must pardon Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, quote, today, calling Herzog, quote, a disgrace for failing to act over the last year. Quote, every day I talk to Bibi about the war. I want him to focus on the war and not the fucking court case. I want the only pressure on Bibi to be the fighting against Iran. Donald Trump is so compromised. In the midst of a war, he's begging for Netanyahu to get a pardon. I mean, this is just, it's beyond parody at this point. Whatever Epstein blackmail they got on Trump that they're holding over his head, it must be just fundamentally depraved. It must be some of the worst shit you've ever heard in your life. That he's bent over backwards to please this man. Literally never once has said no to Netanyahu. Not once. Okay? This is his second term. Literally not once. All right, how's this for terrifying? We told you that you have a bunch of military bases and a bunch of leaders in the military telling their soldiers that you do know that Armageddon is coming and the rapture is coming and Jesus is coming back and Trump is appointed by Jesus and this is a holy war and I can't wait to get to heaven. You literally have like 110 soldiers reached out to this secular organization basically saying, holy shit, these people are insane. They actually think we're fighting in a holy war and they're going to send us to our fucking deaths, right? This is a huge deal. And then you look and you realize, oh my God, Mike Huckabee, the U.S. ambassador to Israel, he's a psychopath. Pete Kegsbreath, the secretary of war crimes, total fucking psychopath. Wrote a book on the American crusade, said kill all Muslims in a bar in 2015. Like, these people are genuinely out of their minds, right? They are delusional. They are fundamentalist evangelical Christian freaks. Well, not doing it after that article comes out, a day after that article comes out detailing all that, what happened? A whole bunch of the biggest Christian Zionist fundamentalist pastors in the country all got together in the White House and they did that creepy ass thing where they all stand around Trump and they put their arm on him and they pray. Yeah, not doing much to, you know, fight back against the allegations that you guys are psycho fundamentalists, that you're the fucking Christian Taliban now, are you? No, they're verifying it. They're verifying it. A day after that article comes out, they basically fucking verify it. Unbelievable, man. So Jonathan Carl comes out and says the following. In a lengthy phone interview, President Trump marveled at the success of the military operation against Iran and expressed no concern about what comes next. Quote, I hope you're impressed, he said. How do you like the performance? I mean, Venezuela is obvious. This might be even better. How do you like the performance? And so then he says, well, look, the concern is what happens next. Like, what's going to happen now? And Trump goes, forget about next. They are decimated for a 10-year period before they can build it back. This man is deeply unwell. This man is deeply unwell. You just basically started World War II, okay? And here you are going, why don't you pat me on the back? I don't understand. You should be patting me on the back. Pat me on the back for killing all those elementary school girls. Pat me on the back for carpet bombing Tehran. Pat me on the back for killing over 1,000 people. Pat me on the back for replacing a hardline Ayatollah with an even harder line Ayatollah. Pat me on the back for that. Pat me on the back for my war crimes and my disregarding of the Geneva Convention and the Nuremberg Tribunal. Pat me on the back for attacking Iran after they already agreed to our hardest line demands when it came to nuclear energy. Jesus Christ, bro. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my word. The Daily Beast is saying that CBS News and Barry Weiss, of course, they have reportedly abandoned the network's standards on objectivity to go all in on promoting Trump's war on Iran. This is like the least surprising thing ever. Shocked Pikachu face here for you. Least surprising thing ever. Because that's the whole point. That's why she was literally put in as the head of CBS to Fox Newsify CBS. That's the whole goal. Make the network more pro-MAGA. Make the network more pro-Israel. And like, you know, suck up to the people with power. That's what it is. Be super Zionist. Be super MAGA. Be super pro-billionaire. Like, this is the idea. That was the whole point. And so I'm not surprised at all. I mean, if you're familiar with the Free Press, which was the thing she ran before this, all of it was pro-Israel slop. All of it was garbage. So of course she's going to support another illegal and offensive war. Okay, Stephen Miller was given a speech at the Department of War, as they call it, and he said the following. The human rights that we are going to protect are not of the savages that torture and rape and murder. So first of all, if you lose your human rights for those things, then I got bad news for you. Literally everybody in the Trump regime loses your human rights. You guys are first in line to lose your fucking human rights. Because you guys are the savages that literally torture. You torture people that were sent to CECOT. You torture people at the fucking ICE concentration camps. Okay? Murder. Murder's like a casual day that ends in Y before motherfucking lunchtime. Are you kidding me? So that's point number one. If that's the standard, then you guys are first in line to lose your human rights. Point number two is, hey, Dippy, the whole point of human rights is that they are rights. They are off the table. They apply to everybody, okay? A right is the opposite of a privilege. A privilege is something that can be taken away. A right is something that, by definition, is off the table and cannot be taken away. Do you not understand that? Well, apparently he doesn't, or he does it, but he doesn't care and he'll lie about it. But This is what he does. He literally wants to cherry pick who deserves constitutional rights and who deserves human rights and who deserves freedom and who doesn't. And it's based on his fucking warped view of reality where, in his mind, you know, fucking hard right Nazi types are the ones who deserve all the rights. And innocent people who did nothing wrong, liberals and lefties, and brown, black and brown people and Muslims and all the minorities, they deserve no rights. Just unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. Literally, like, just a whole bunch of total assholes trying to create the Fourth Reich right in front of our eyes. All right, we also have this big news coming out here. Trump and Tucker Carlson, of course, going at it. So Trump came out, and apparently Laura Loomer probably got to Trump and whispered in his ear, hey, here's all the people saying mean things about you and bad things about you that are in MAGA. Don't trust these people. Like, distance yourself from these people. And so Tucker had called the war in Iran, quote, absolutely evil and disgusting. Now, having said that, he's been largely, like, since it's what, 5 days, 6 days since this started? He hasn't really said Dickie McGee's axe. In fact, it's like the softest pushback I think I've ever seen, because that's all we have to this point is that comment, all right? That might change soon. It might change by the time this video is out. But, I mean, shit, it's been a fucking week, right? So, like, if anything, Trump should be thanking this guy for, hey, thank you for not, like, going for my jugular in this moment where I betrayed fucking anybody and everybody and I outed myself as the worst fucking person on planet Earth. Okay, so Trump responds to Tucker and says, Tucker has lost his way. I knew that a long time ago. And he's not MAGA. MAGA is saving our country. MAGA is making our country great again. MAGA is America first. And Tucker is none of those things. And Tucker is really not smart enough to understand that. The world's dumbest man saying that Tucker is not smart enough to understand that. Okay, so he excises him from his terrorist death cult. Noted. Well, then somebody, this guy Gabe Kaminsky, asked Tucker to respond. He said, hey, here's what Trump said about you. What's your response? Tucker says, I'll always love Trump, no matter what he says about me. I just think a war with Iran is deeply unwise. You see that right there? You see that right there, Tucker? That's what we call the cuck chair. That's what you're sitting in right now. Tucker, you're currently sitting in the cuck chair. You are a little beta bitch boy, if that's your reaction. I think Tucker's terrible and stupid and dumb and wrong, and actually the worst person I think I've ever seen, ever in human history. He's a piece of shit, and I'm kicking him out of my club. And Tucker's like, oh, sir, I'm sorry. I'll always be grateful for you. I actually love you so much, and I think you're special, and I think you're the most handsome, and I think you're the most amazing, but we have a slight disagreement on you starting World War III. We have a slight disagreement on you destroying the U.S. economy and massacring elementary school girls in Iran. We have a slight disagreement on you becoming Hitler 2.0 along with Benjamin Netanyahu. Just unbelievable, man. What a loser. By the way, look, I hope there's some right-wingers watching this video. Because, guys, you don't need to be on the same team as these, like, limp-dick losers who are doing, like, fake pushback. You don't need to look at these right-wingers who are like, I'm going to be the anti-war voice. Motherfucker, fuck you. The left is always robustly anti-war. More forthrightly anti-war. And we make better arguments when we make the case of being anti-war, okay? You don't need to follow these limp-dick losers. There's plenty of us here on the left who will give you, like, a stronger dose of anti-war politics with better arguments, and we're not fucking, like, scared of our own shadow. You know, MAGA looks at you the wrong way, and they run and they hide. Oh, did I offend them? I hope I'm still on the team, even though I'm gonna pretend I'm anti-war. Like, fuck you guys, man. Jesus Christ. All right. So Trump accidentally admitted that the SAVE Act is about stealing the election. He was at an event, and he said, I'll tell you what, Republicans have to win this one. We'll never lose a race for 50 years. That's what he said about passing the SAVE Act. Admitting, hey, this is about voter disenfranchisement, and we're, like, kicking the Democrats off the rolls so they can't vote, so we win. Hey, asshole, you're not supposed to say that part out loud. That's the part that you're supposed to keep quiet, dippy. How did you not realize that? Well, at this point, he doesn't care. He's high on his own supply. He knows the whole country hates him. He knows he's at 35%, and he's just going to try to steal the election anyway. He's letting it all hang out. He's letting it all hang out. And by the way, his brain is, like, not working anymore, so there's that, too. All right. And then, finally, I'll leave you guys with this. A bunch of diet MAGA bullshit from Democratic leaders, as per usual. So, Chuck Schumer declined to rule out voting for Mark Wayne Mullen as the next DHS secretary, since Noam was fired. He declined to rule it out. No words, man. No words. I mean, useless. Again, you want to talk about the cuck chair? You know who's sitting in the cuck chair along with Tucker Carlson? Chuck Schumer. Cuck Schumer is actually his real name. Cuck Schumer is sitting in that cuck chair. Because this is just, like, do you have a fetish for being humiliated and losing all the time? Like, what more would it take for you to realize? My job is to vote no on fucking anything and everything this man wants. Whether it's people in his regime or policy things he wants. Vote no on fucking everything. Block everything they do. Like, it is just embarrassing. And, you know, Democrats like Schumer are dinosaurs. They're Democrats in name only. They're dinos. They're Diet MAGA. And their day is coming where they will be no more. Because we just won't stand for it anymore. We just won't stand for this anymore. So there are your updates, guys. I love y'all very much. And I will talk to you tomorrow. Peace.